Good afternoon.
Can you hear me okay out there? Okay, good. Very good. We are brought together today to honor the life of Judy Bryant, a wife, a mother, a grandma, a sister in Christ, somebody who poured her life into others. And we'll say lots of words today from up here, from myself and Karen, and you'll say words to each other as well for this time, but maybe the best words we can hear are the words of Judy's Lord, our Lord. I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. She who believes in me, though she die, yet shall she live. Would you join me as we pray together? Gracious Father, this is a weekend and people are busy going to and fro and catching up on things they couldn't do during the week. They barely notice that this family and these group of friends have gathered on this day to remember the life of one whom they have loved. And Father, we'll try our best to bring comfort to one another, but we depend upon your Spirit to be present with us and to warm our hearts and remind us of the good things, but more particularly to remind us of the promise you have made to us about the future. Hear our prayers and abide with us, our Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, some songs have been chosen for us to sing, songs that Judy would have enjoyed and loved. And so as you can, if you know some of these pieces, I invite you to sing along as Don will be leading us. The first one is Because He Lives, and I invite you, if you can, to stand with us.
Oh,
this experience of losing a loved one, of someone passing from us, someone who's special, is something that every one of us go through. And we try to figure this out. We try to reason this as to how this can happen. These folks who have such a prominent place in our lives, and yet they're taken from us. And through the years, folks have tried to give significance to this and to think about it and to try to reflect a little bit on it. A few years ago, I had a friend of mine who whose wedding I performed. And he wrote me a letter after the wedding, and he'd forgotten to pay our caretaker. And if you know what's good for you, you better pay the caretaker after a wedding. But anyway, he sent the check, but with a little note to it. And I want to read part of that to you this afternoon. Dan reflected, "I remember as a kid in public school, a day seemed so long. So many activities were done, and still the day remained. All things were done. What to do next? Nothing to do." Have your kids ever said that to you? "When will this day ever end? So much time in a day. Now the day, weeks, and months fly by in a flash. They fly by with a sense that little was accomplished, especially on the personal side." And if Judy were here today to speak to us, she would reflect, in spite of her 82 years, she probably realized that it went back, or went by rather, oh, so quickly. And other people, famous people, able people, have reflected on it. And this is a little poem sent to us by Judy's great friend, Mary Lou Studholm. They've been friends for 75 years, my goodness. And she wanted to reflect a little bit and to share a little bit. And so this is a poem by somebody famous, Margaret Mead. It's entitled, "Remember Me." "To the living, I'm gone. To the sorrowful, I will never return. To the angry, I was cheated. And to the faithful, I've never left. I cannot speak, but I can listen. I cannot be seen, but I can be heard. So as you stand upon a shore, gazing at a beautiful sea, as you look upon a flower and admire its simplicity, remember me. Remember me in your heart, your thoughts, and your memories of the times we loved, the times we cried, the times we fought, the times we laughed. For if you always think of me, I will never have gone." And those are some of the many things that cross our minds on an occasion like this. But there are other words that have been written, words not of despair or of disappointment or of sadness, but words of hope. This very scripture that Judy herself loved so very much, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and thinking about what is life all about and what are our experiences, what purpose do they have? "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get up and a time to lose, or rather a time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace." But these final words, these words of hope written in the book of Hebrews, "These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. One of the wonderful things we think about today is that city where Judy is going. It's always a blessing when family are able to come and to share about a loved one, and so I'll call on Karen at this time.
Something that my nephew Noah wrote. He had planned on coming today, but then he woke up not feeling good at all, so he sent it to me and asked me to read it. Okay. Hello. Thank you to everyone for coming to my Nana Judy Bryant's life memorial. My name is Noah Gray, and I am one of her grandsons. Many of you knew her from attending Ambassador Baptist, as she was an avid attendee of this church for many years, alongside my loving papa, Herb. I have many fond memories of my Nana, mostly because for a few years of my childhood, we would go over to their trailer in McGregor to help them out with their yard work and other housework. During those summers of working outside as a child, I was taught things from my papa, such as the principles of good work ethic, and I was taught things from my Nana, such as if I work hard enough and get my tasks done, I can join her inside with the air conditioning and watch her favorite television programs, such as Jeopardy, Blue Bloods, and Curling. I remember I went over to their house to watch one of the Super Bowl games, and although she knew my favorite team and who I was rooting for, she and my papa made it their mission to make fun of me and to playfully bully me. She would then walk to the kitchen for a full bag of chips and hand me the whole thing to scarf down on my own. Whenever we went over to her house, she made it her mission to walk up to us every step through our childhood to see how much we have grown since the last time she saw us, even if she just saw us the day before. She would line our backs up and measure how much taller my brothers and I were to her. That is one strong memory that I have of her among many, because that happened every single visit. Over the past few years, I have seen her less and less because life just got so busy. The last time I really saw her was when my papa passed away. And then a couple of years after that, she was hospitalized just months ago. So my fiancé and I visited her in the hospital. At first, she didn't recognize me, but when I responded with, "It's me, your grandson," she recognized me immediately and was brought to tears. We spent the next 2 hours talking about life and where my life has been going the past few years. She was always interested in what I was doing, and always made an effort into asking where I'm at with school and just life in general. She always cared about my brothers and I and my sister. Now to bring up a bittersweet memory. When my papa passed away, we all met together for a get-together right after his passing. And when she saw me, she broke into tears, brought me into a hug, and dug her face into my shirt. Now we haven't seen each other for a while, so when she saw me, she became vulnerable with me. She loved my brothers and I and my sister, and I'm glad that she's finally at peace after the suffering she endured near the end. So as I bring this to a close, I just want to say that I hope she can rest in peace, And I don't know where people stand on this, but if we really recognize and know who certain people are in heaven, then I will see her there. Thank you. Thank you all for coming as we honor my mom, Judith Ann Bryant, known to many as Judy. I loved my mom, and I want to share with you a few of my thoughts. I am choosing to share with you four characteristics I admired in my mom. I am using the letters of her name to reflect on these characteristics. J is for Jesus. Mom started attending church here when she was 7 years old at the old church across the street and loved and served the Lord until the day she passed. Both Mom and Dad were longtime members of the Gideon's Bible Society and passed out many New Testaments to those they met. Mom and Dad both taught Sunday school, and Mom helped with many different functions behind the scenes at Ambassador, including the WABI events, the Western Association of Baptist Youth. I know that Mom is now in heaven talking to Jesus and others who have gone on before her. U is for understanding. Mom was understanding when she interacted with others. One definition of understanding is having compassion, caring, and the ability to forgive. In 1993, both Mom and Dad wrote a letter to me when I attended a youth retreat here in Windsor. In Mom's letter, she shared how God gives each of us testing times, but he promises that they will not be more than we can handle. She also quoted 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 in her letter. Always take time to see his beauty everywhere, and above all, trust in our God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Mom was a person who understood and cared about others. D is for dedication. Mom was dedicated to my dad. They were married for 47 years, and she initially helped my dad raise my two older siblings and then raised all four of us to adulthood. Mom was very dedicated to her grandchildren and very proud of the adults they are today. Mom assisted Dad with the family moving business, Bryant and Son Movers, and that, however, Mom's dedication did not stop there. Later in life, they took in foster children and international students and helped them achieve their education. But it also exposed us to different cultures, and I still hear Mom trying to learn their language and the laughter involved as Mom tried and tried again. Y is for her youthful behaviors. Mom had youthful energy and loved to go shopping. She would go shopping 6 days a week if she could. I sure hope there is a huge shopping center in heaven so Mom can continue to shop, shop, and shop some more. I also remember the bus trips Mom and I would take. She loved to travel, and yes, shopping was usually involved. And as a child, Mom and I spent a lot of time going down to Sick Children's in Toronto. So there was always something to do down there, too. But anyway, Mom also loved being with the youth. I think that kept her going all these years. In closing, I encourage you all to think and remember that one characteristic about Mom that stands out to you. Mom, I love you and know that you are now at peace, back with Dad and suffering no more. Enjoy sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Thanks so much, Karen, for for sharing with us today, and we get a much better picture of your mom from the words that you shared with us. Thank you. Let's continue to worship another piece that Judy Bryant really enjoyed. And it's more of a popular music piece. I think we heard it on the radio for a few years. It's called One Day at a Time. Would you stand as we sing together? I want to address us today from the Treasury of the Psalms, that collection of literature that we know from the Hebrew nation, their worship book, and particularly Psalm chapter 46, because the psalmist writes, "Therefore we will not fear." And you know, that's something that is sort of part and parcel with losing someone, the whole thing about fear, loss of a mother, You know, when you lose a parent, it's kind of like a hockey game. And you've got this goalie, don't you? And if you're playing hockey and you're a forward or you're a defenseman, you know that even if you goof up, there's a goalie back there, hopefully, who can help people overlook your transgressions. And that's kind of like us with our parents. Our parents, when they're always there, we so appreciate them for moral support, discussing with them. Hopefully, we can always go home. We're always welcome there. In the odd time when things are a little short, Mom and Dad come through with a little bit of financial support as well. So when we lose them, there's a little bit of fear involved. When we lose a sister in Christ, Judy and Herb Bryant were active in this congregation and its mission. And in the days when they were active around here, this church was a different situation, wasn't it, you know? And it may return to that someday. All of our churches have their ups and downs. But as we see our church today and realize that things have changed, and then we mark the passing of Judy and realize that there was a day when she was here and life was different and things were going along quite well. We have a little fear, don't we, wondering about the future. And then we mourn the passing of a friend. Whenever somebody our age passes away, we kind of swallow a little hard, don't we? One of the discussions I have with my wife is the discussion, now, are they younger or older than us? And we're getting to the point where we're sort of the old ones now. You know, that day has kind of come for us. When a contemporary of ours dies, we're reminded of our own mortality. Human mortality rate is still 100%. The psalmist knows. The psalmist understands. That's why this 46th psalm was included in the collection of 150. There are only 150 in here. And a selection was made, and it was decided that this psalm, number 46, had worked so well with people, had afforded them comfort and encouragement through the years, that we simply had to have it. People pass away. It will happen to us, and we will be alone. We will miss those people. And the psalmist says we will not fear. The truth is we probably will, at least for a little while. But the reason the psalmist addresses this issue is he does not want us to be immobilized by our fear. He says, therefore, we will not fear. And he gives us three reasons for that. In the psalm, it says in verse 4, there is a river. There is a river. Isn't water therapy wonderful? For those of you who are fortunate enough to live by the water, I know it's kind of a mixed blessing sometimes if a storm comes up, but isn't that so peaceful and so enriching to hear the waves lap up against our property? If you don't have that, there's a fellow who lives down the street from me. Every time I go to the mailbox, I hear his water feature gurgling away, and that gives me some comfort and some encouragement as well. Even the psalmist wrote about that. Where David writes, he leadeth me beside the still waters. We love to hear water running. But the gist in Psalm 46 is not from an external water source, in spite of the fact that that sometimes brings us comfort. But he's talking from something that that comes from within. Hear the words of Jesus. On that day when he met with the woman who'd come to draw water from a well on that hot day in the semi-arid climate. And Jesus was sitting there, waiting for his disciples. And they talked about water, and she had come to draw. And then Jesus said something very interesting. He said, you know, I am a source of water that's helpful. Here's what he said. He said, everyone who drinks this water from this well will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him or her will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him or her will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. A spring of water from within ourselves. Paul writes in the fourth chapter of Philippians to his friends in Philippi, "Be anxious for nothing, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's an inside job that God does in us. When we connect with Him, when we agree to follow Him, when we allow Him to come into our lives, the Bible teaches us that there's a spirit that comes and is part of us. That spirit of life, that encouragement. The psalmist writes, "There is a river, not simply one that flows in our city, but one that comes from our hearts." Verse 9, he says, he maketh the wars to cease. The wars, and of course for the Hebrew nation, there has been a history of war. And right now, sadly, we're noting that again. One of the enduring images that I have from a few years ago as we celebrated the life of President Jimmy Carter this week, the 39th president of the United States. And we didn't have much to watch TV on in that day. Linda and I were just recently married, and we were living in seminary housing. We were still in school. But my uncle had given us $150 for our wedding, and we went out to Sears and bought a black and white television that we could sit on the top of a Coke case that was on its end. That was our entertainment in those days. And I remember I had to watch it. I was watching the news and realizing that President Carter's efforts to do something about the Middle East situation was coming to fruition. And that day when I watched the news and that plane flying from Egypt, carrying Anwar Sadat into Israel to meet the president of Egypt, meeting with his old enemy, Menachem Begin. And that resulted in the meeting at Camp David and a measure of peace where Egypt normalized relations with the Hebrew people, the Hebrew nation. And watching a newscast this past week, I heard from a commentator that it looks like the Saudis are going to make that effort as well, which I was surprised to hear. So that effort by Mr. Carter, over 40 years ago, is bearing fruit even today. He makes the wars to cease. And the reason that that's important for us, not just from a historical perspective, but in our own lives, is that we have battles too, don't we? We fight battles with others. Judy Bryant fought battles. You do too. Have you heard the new word? I don't think it's in the dictionary just yet, but this word called frenemies. Have you heard about that? Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? Humanity I love, it's people I can't stand. You know, we have challenges, don't we? We battle with people. Jesus talked about our enemies. He said, love your enemies, pray for them. Acknowledging that each and every one of us, even though we're not fighting a literal battle on a battlefield, we all have folks who vex us, who challenge us. It's just what life is all about. It's a great example of the kind of love to enemies is the church in Charleston, South Carolina. You remember that? Where a few folks in that African Methodist Episcopal Church had met together for Bible study, which was their custom on a Wednesday night, and a deeply troubled young man made his way into the church and shot many of the members of that little Bible study group and killed them. And you know, when we see these kinds of awful events happen and we follow it along, and you know, sometimes we get into that, we say, I want to see how this is going to end. And the person is arrested and charged and convicted and then sentenced. And then the scene outside of the courthouse afterwards, where they're talking to the family whose loved one was killed. And very often you'll say, well, now we have closure. You didn't hear that word on the lips of the folks from the AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. It's not a very effective way to address the whole situation. But to say you have closure, you're still affected, that you can't bring that person back. Your life is still saddened. You are diminished because of it. I think closure is very overrated. And the people from the church in Charleston, I never heard them say it. What I heard them say was two things. One, we are praying for that young man. Number two, we have forgiven him. Praying for him because they realize that God loves all people and he wants us to be the people that he wants us to grow into the people that he has planned for us to be. And number two, praying for him, praying for his family. It's called forgiveness, my brothers and sisters. And it's a tool that God has given us to help us with fear, to help us with grief. Because in any situation like this, where a family member dies, there are joyous moments to celebrate. But there are also sad moments. And speaking as a parent myself, I know I was never a perfect parent. I wish I had been. But I hope that my boys, our boys, forgive me so that I can continue living with them, that we can continue living together, so that those wars that we once fought may cease and that he may give us peace. The wonderful tool of forgiveness. It happens in families. Even when we know our parent maybe didn't always come through the way that we hoped he or she would. If we take that step forward, and offer forgiveness, sometimes even before we feel like we can, there is a blessing for us in that action. We will not fear. He makes the wars to cease, the psalmist writes. And then finally, we go back to where this all started in verse 1. And maybe up till now you haven't really recognized this psalm, but here is verse 1, and you'll probably instantly recognize it. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. That's the second verse. But the first one, God is our refuge and strength. I'm a student of Hebrew. It's something I had to do when I was preparing for the ministry. We had to learn Greek and Hebrew. I'm not fluent in it. I can't speak it to you, but I can do the scholarly work. I can find out what a verse means. I can translate each word with the help of my memory and a Hebrew or Greek lexicon. And the ancient people spoke differently than we did, of course, particularly in Hebrew. It's kind of like a puzzle. It goes from right to left, not left to right, as our English language does. And sometimes the words are, to us, out of order. And so the work of translation is to take those words and put them in the order so we folks who speak English can understand them. But sometimes as a student of Hebrew, I like to just leave the words in the order that they appear in the Hebrew text. And so here's the order as I translated it. It goes like this. God, to us, shelter and strength, help in distress, which we stumble upon, happen upon exceedingly. That wonderful message of Emmanuel, God with us. That's the message that the psalmist has for us today. As we mark the passing of a loved one, a person we depended upon, a person who was a great friend to us, a great support to us, somebody who, quite frankly, we may not really be able to get along without totally. And yet God comes with his presence. It's not just an idea. These aren't just principles or precepts or theology. What the Bible talks about is Emmanuel, God with us. God is our refuge and strength. Very present help, which we stumble upon, which we find almost by accident. I love that term. I think that's a really important way for us to understand God. Because you see, a lot of times I think the way we approach God is a little bit like what we do when we go across the border into the U.S. My wife has a little thing she recites to me every time. Take off your sunglasses. Don't forget to open the back window. Don't be glib or try to be funny, unless they're funny to you. And most importantly, don't answer questions you were not asked. That's our little routine. Because we are there to please the border official because we have to go into the state, so we got to behave ourselves. Sometimes I think that's the way we approach God. That we can only get his support, his love, by getting our story right, by being ready to say the right words and to do the right things. But this psalm proves to us that it's not that way at all. God to us, shelter and strength, help in distress, which we stumble upon, which we happen upon. You see, he's been looking for you. He's not waiting for you to come to him. He has been searching for you. A wonderful story in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus is traveling around. He goes into this village, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a little guy, but he was a tax official, hated by the Hebrew people. And Zacchaeus, being so short, and the crowd was so big, he couldn't see Jesus by just, you know, shouldering his way in. So he climbs a tree, and he gets a good view of Jesus. But when Jesus goes by, and he wasn't expecting this, Jesus looks up at the man, at Zacchaeus, and says, "Zacchaeus, I am coming to your house today." It was all planned. He knew about it from the beginning, that one of the things he was going to do when he got into that village was go to Zacchaeus' house. How about you? Can you understand that God is looking for you, that he wants you to be part of his kingdom, that he wants to embrace you as your son, as his son, or as his daughter? It is the edict of the Father. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The reason they shall be comforted is because God is with us. God is in our lives. He wants to be part of us. An old hymn says it this way: "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares." If we let him in, he is ready to open the door. Let us pray a prayer of thanksgiving for the life of Judy Bryant, a life well lived. Let us pray. And, oh Father, today we want to praise you for everything that made life worth living for Judy Bryant and for us. Her daughter Karen has talked about her grandchildren and what a thrill that gave her to see them grow up and mature and become adults. We think of the shopping she enjoyed with a friend or with a daughter. We think of her being present in worship in this church, standing for the hymns and songs, bowing in the prayer, sitting and listening as the old, old story is told again. Father, we give you thanks for those like Judy Bryant who journeyed with us, and you know, we know that that is your will because we read in your word, it is not right for people to be alone. So, Father, we just pray that you'll give us the energy to cultivate and to treasure those precious relationships we have. Father, finally, we thank you for her example because she went beyond herself. She invested in young lives through her life, with international students, with little sisters, and with young people who were growing in their faith amongst our Baptist faith family. Father, we realize that we cannot live for ourselves. Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And your daughter, Judith, was one who got this. She understood this. And so she took time for others. Help us, Father, as we try to steer our attention away from ourselves and to others because of you. Hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, another piece has been chosen for us to sing, the old Christian piece, a hymn called Abide With Me. Would you stand as we sing together? And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord henceforth. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. In that Almighty God has received the soul of our loved one now departed, we tenderly commit her body to him in the blessed hope that as she has borne the image of the earthly, so also shall she bear the image of the heavenly. We commit her spirit into the care and keeping of a just and merciful God, who by reason of faith in Jesus Christ has already accepted Judy into his eternal presence. Let us pray together. O Lord, whether we live or die, we know that we are in your compassionate care. Here then we commit to your unfailing love the soul of one whom we love. Thank you for the gracious memories and kindly deeds which live on with us. Thank you for the privilege of sharing her life. Thank you for her faith in the face of death. May those whom she leaves behind know the comfort, strength, courage, and guidance of your Holy Spirit in the days to come. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.